Let's do it.
Let's drum get strong. Let's drum this way. Bring unity. 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 Unity.
Unity. Unity. Unity. Unity. Unity.
Today's social and environmental energy today. Are you in a battle? Do you feel like you're in a battle? Let's just drum in some more unity. Unity. Think about it as you're drumming on your table, as you're drumming on your drum. We are creating an atmosphere of high frequency vibration. Unity, love, and compassion. One more time.
Some people for all that. From every tribe and language, people, every nation. We're warriors of fallen, there's a resurrection coming.
for some unity conversation. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining me this morning, because your presence is so needed today. Every Blog Talk show we have, your presence is so needed because of what we're going through on planet Earth, and especially since the planets are moving around and doing all kinds of crazy things. I was listening to an astrology report. I was just amazed how much Mars and Venus are activated right now, the planets of love. And that's why we've talked about bringing together the male, divine male and divine female energies within us, balancing those energies right now. So important to balance those energies. There is a new document or a Netflix show by Dave Chappelle, and he talks a lot about the male-female energies in a different way that makes you laugh. So if you haven't seen Dave Chappelle's latest Netflix show, you should see it just to get some laughter. I mean, I just laughed. I had a good time watching that, just to get a good laugh in. We need to laugh, right? Laughing is so healing, so strengthening even, and so lifting up, so uplifting. So thank you for joining me. I'm Viata, your host for tonight. And for the next 2 hours, I'm going to be giving you a lot of knowledge and information about the soul journey. We should come together. Are you ready to come together? What is your belief about the soul, actually? Do you ever think about what the soul's role is versus the human's role? They are a little bit distinguishable. So we want to talk about that tonight and really get into how we can overstand. We've been understanding. We haven't been doing a lot of understanding. That is going inside of this temple, this vessel, and really seeing how the system works. I do a lot of that on Friday mornings with health and well-being with Viata. I really focus on the inner standing, going inside the biological computer, seeing how it functions, why we get the symptoms we do, why do we get the diseases we do. I'm focusing a lot this month on the breath, and every Friday morning you can learn more about pH and how you can balance your pH and the right foods and exercise. But tonight we go a little higher into overstanding. What does it mean to overstand? What does it mean to understand and understand? I chose this audio tonight about the soul journey because it really outlines well. A guy named Alan Watts outlines really well the particulars about the soul and especially incarnation. I want you to really pay attention to especially the beginning. He talks a little bit about incarnations and in the end, and we can really start finding peace. Peace with the relationships that we are in if we overstand the soul's journey, purpose, the role that every soul is playing. Not necessarily every fragile, traumatized human mind being, but we're diving deep and going high to look at the soul, this eternal part of us. And why are we here? And why are we having the conflicts we're having with relationships? This is going to really hopefully expand your thinking about why you're in conflict with so many people today. And I know it really helped me to listen to this over and more than once to really get peace in my soul. My soul is perfect. My soul is so perfect because I am aware now. I'm conscious of all the things that I am assigned to do on planet Earth and where my focus should be. And I'm so aware of being triggered and not reacting into low frequency emotions. So my first audio or first guest I'd like to say is Alan Watts, and he's going to talk about the soul journey, the life and journey of the soul. So important. If you listen to this, you're going to really be able to have peace about the relationships you're in. I have been had so many people in my life lately who are struggling with the relationships they're in. they are finding it difficult to understand, overstand, understand why they're in conflict with certain people and what they should do about it. So let's listen to Alan Watts. Give us some knowledge and wisdom, especially wisdom, about what the soul is and how you can really raise your vibration, your frequency, your responses to situations, and come out of fear and anxiety when you have this type of knowledge. You have this type of knowledge and you have applied it and use wisdom in every situation. And that's our intention tonight, is to give you enough knowledge, information, and wisdom so that you can come out of fear and anxiety and just stay in that peaceful response mode every day, every hour. So many of us are on a roller coaster ride. We go into meditation and we feel great. We feel great. And then we come out and the minute we're triggered, we're cursing and all that. So this is all about tonight, helping you to stay in a calm, peaceful response mode versus being triggered all the time in anger and hate and bitterness and even sadness. We can have joy in every situation. We can be content in every circumstance. But we need the knowledge about the soul. So that's what we're doing tonight, bringing you all the knowledge you need, because the scriptures say, what, my people perish for lack of knowledge. So that's my whole focus tonight and intention, bring you enough knowledge, more knowledge, more knowledge to help you on this journey on planet Earth to have more peace and more joy. So let's listen to my first guest, Alan Watts.
Welcome back to Open Your Reality. I'm Chad, your host. Today's video is about the life and journey of souls. Now, I make videos about various topics here on my channel, including many on simulation theory. But this is a video that should interest everyone, as it relates to all of us. I want to talk about how souls are created, how they evolve, and the process a soul goes through from lifetime to lifetime. Finally, I'll touch on what the ultimate endgame is for all of us. If you've been watching my videos, you know I talk a lot about spirituality. I really try to blend simulation theory and spirituality together, as they are part and parcel to each other. I know some of you may be wondering where I get my information. Well, for this particular video, my information comes from the work of Dr. Michael Newton, who wrote the very popular book, Journey of Souls. Dr. Newton regressed hundreds of people using hypnotism to discover the whole process of life, death, and the between life state. He did this over a period of several decades. I also use a lot of the information given by Tom Campbell, who has direct experience with the astral world, having gone there many, many times before. Tom has accompanied newly deceased souls to the afterlife and has a great deal of experience in the between life states dealing with souls. The rest of my information comes from the knowledge I acquired through years of studying this subject and meditating on it. Before we jump headfirst into some difficult concepts, I should define the word soul, so we're all on the same page. For most people, the soul is our spirit, our true self, and the part of us that goes on after death. That's pretty much accurate, but let me give you a more comprehensive definition. The soul is actually bigger and more powerful than you may think. Each one of us has a soul that resides in the astral world. That means even when we're living life here on Earth, the majority of our soul remains in the astral world. Through our first breath until the moment of death, we never lose our connection with it. And the quality of our consciousness is a direct reflection of that soul. It may take some time for you to grasp this concept. I know it did for me. But if you think logically about it, this explains why so many spiritual traditions believe in a higher self or oversoul. This is because we as personalities here on Earth are just a fragment of our soul, which again resides in the astral world. At this point, it's common for most people to wonder, who created our souls? God is the most logical answer, and the one most people would give. In simulation theory, we can say it was the programmer, because if our entire reality is a simulation, it would just take the press of a key to create the next new soul. Dr. Newton really pressed his patience on the process of how new souls are created. They said it was unknown exactly, but it seemed like a very powerful energy or light from above created the new souls. Each soul is made to be unique, and no two are ever the same, similar to snowflakes. When you consider that every soul goes on to have a totally unique set of life experiences, and that dozens, hundreds, and thousands of lifetimes are lived, you can see how vast the differences can be from soul to soul, or in our case, person to person. According to some of Newton's patients, newly minted souls inhabit a particular place in the astral world, where they are nurtured for a time, kind of like newborns here. Once they reach a certain point, they are offered the chance to try an incarnation in a physical world, like Earth. Keep in mind that Earth is just a virtual reality, the same as the astral world. Really, wherever our consciousness finds itself, it considers that place to be the real physical world, whether it be a dream, a hallucination, the astral world, or our everyday life here on Earth. During the first phases of a newly created soul's journey, the important thing for it is to gain experience. These souls often jump into incarnations with little thought or planning. So basically, the soul in the astral world breaks off a piece of itself, which is really its quality, and sends it to a place like Earth. That piece of the soul will log into a physical body and live an entire incarnation in complete immersion. This means it completely forgets who it really is and where it came from. Instead, that piece of the soul only identifies with its so-called physical body and its circumstances. Being a new soul, it is probably full of fear, has very selfish tendencies, and makes poor choices. In the beginning, each new soul has a lot to learn, and Earth is one of the harshest of all environments to do it in. This is because Earth is like a kindergarten, where people fight all the time, and we often hurt each other. If you just look around the world, you can see how evident that is. Earth is seen as a very tough place to come to. The souls that choose to incarnate here do so because much can be learned quickly. Actually, Earth is one of the best training grounds for souls in the entire simulation. While we should all be on the fast track to soul evolution, living a life on Earth does not guarantee we will learn and evolve quickly, though. This is because being a human is very difficult, and we tend to make the same bad decisions over and over, at least until we get it right. But getting it right could require many lifetimes. One big reason for this is because we have completely forgotten our original purpose for coming here. In the astral world, we may have planned out this incarnation and have certain goals to reach. But since we have no memory of that, and because Earth is a multiplayer game with everyone having free will, even our best laid out plans can fail. And often they do. That is why our soul evolution can be so slow and harrowing. We also need to pay off our karmic debts for any harm we have caused others while here. Above it all, our mission, and the mission of all souls, is to grow up and evolve and achieve ever higher levels. Tom Campbell likes to say that we evolve by reducing our entropy. Entropy is the measure of disorder in a system. So basically, the less you have, the more evolved you are. If all this sounds like nonsense to you, I get it. I was there myself. But as you study the present-day literature of our wisest sages, along with the ancient traditions, you can see a continuous theme of the same information. Souls are born. They need experience to grow and evolve. And so they incarnate into bodies in other virtual realms and amass experience. How do we know that the modern-day sages and ancient adepts are correct in this? Well, through the ages, many spiritual seekers have broken through the veil intended to create the illusion of separation for us. They have peeked behind it and discovered the true origin of our souls, which is everything I've been stating in this video. So what does this mean for you? Well, you are an immortal being, and your soul lives on indefinitely. Your physical body is just a temporary vehicle you use to interact here in this life. The lessons you learn or don't learn in life will either evolve or de-evolve the quality of your consciousness. And learning from this whole earthly experience is really what it's all about for us. Anything you don't get right in this lifetime, you'll need to go through again in your next lifetime. We're all imperfect beings, and there is much for all of us to learn. The important thing to know is that you are your harshest critic, and there is no hell in the afterlife. Really, your greatest punishment comes in the form of your own regrets and failures. So it's very important for our soul evolution to make better and better choices as we progress through life. I hope you enjoyed this video and gained something from it. I just want to...
So that was a very, in my opinion, a very simple analysis of what the soul is, what it's about, what's why we're here, what our purpose is. So what is your experience? I'd like to hear from you out there listening in Blog Talk Radio, studio, Facebook. What's your experience and understanding about the soul? See, understanding is really a word that seems to imply, understanding implies that you don't see the bigger picture. You understand what you heard in your physical mind, in your physical heart, body. You hear what you heard, what the words were, and in your mind you process it. And understanding in my mind is, oh, I do, I'm processing that, and I'm listening to the words, I'm processing the words. And so you may continue to think about what you just heard, right? That to me is understanding. What is your definition of understanding? Because we're breaking down understanding, interstanding, and overstanding to bring us to a higher consciousness tonight, so that we can have better relationships and especially stay in more peace as we navigate through this twilight zone that we're all in, and try and have some joy and health, most important, because we're getting into the colder months and we're going to see less sun and our bodies are going to be more challenged to stay healthy. So tonight we're going to really explore words and meanings like soul. Do you believe what you heard in your understanding tonight, that what he was saying was we are eternal beings? That's what the soul implies. We are spirits in a vessel, in a flesh body. And the quality of our consciousness is related to our soul. So, and then there's an astral world. That's why what he was talking about was very simplistic. Because then he brings in the astral world. How many of you even know anything about the astral world, the world beyond this physical realm and the cosmos? And in especially, we want to know how you feel about incarnations, reincarnations. Are there many incarnations, reincarnations? And what is the experience that you believe you've had? And do you in fact believe that we're here, our soul journey here is about growing up? Growing up how? We grew up as from children. We were in kindergarten. We were in Sunday. We already grew up, right? Is there another a level or aspect of growing up in the soul realm? Well, let's talk about that when we come back. And as an immortal being, how much material things do you really need as an immortal, eternal being? That's the question we should all be asking as we think about downsizing, letting go of the stuff so that spirit can be stronger and we can indeed grow up. So it's time for our first break. When we come back, I have a caller who's pressed one. And we're going to go to a break, and I believe we're going to have a question or a comment by our executive producer. And what I want you to really think about, what does soul mean to you? Are you understanding, understanding, or overstanding? Where are you in your growing up journey? Or do you think you even need to grow up? You're doing just fine. You don't need to grow up. So we'll be back, and hopefully you'll be able to answer some of those questions for us so that we can keep you in peace and health. Thank you, Naima Latif is bringing us some commercials.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced, and we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
This is Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, spiritual counselor and advisor. I invite you to a private reading in the areas of business, health, finances, relationships. My introductory cost of $20. Please call because there is a higher power that can help me help you. 312-802-4743. Peace and blessings to you all. Call me. 312-802-4743.
Joining us this evening, this beautiful 10-10 evening. Oh, this is some powerful numbers. My seven, number seven ruling tonight. 10-10-21 is a seven. And so we're here tonight to talk about growing in our soul journey. Do you even think you need to grow as a soul? Once we've grown up into adults, do you think you need to do any growth in your soul realm? And what has been your experience in learning about your soul, your spirit, your astral life force? Well, we're going to hear from our executive producer because we want to hear from you about the knowledge you have gained so that we can apply all this knowledge to the collective body of people gathered tonight, and we can all grow together. So Naima Latif is going to come in and tell us about her journey, her growth as a soul, and what she's experienced.
Yes, yeah. So good evening, and good evening to all of the wonderful listeners and viewers tonight. I know that some of these things I've said before. I can't remember on whose show, but if you're listening and you've heard it before, you know, bear with me. I'll try not to be too repetitive. But I've had a profound experience. I actually started doing astral travel early in life, but I didn't know what that was when my soul would leave my body, and then I'd become aware of unseen beings in my room. It's starting to happen to me when I was a teenager. But then later in life, after my husband transitioned, and of course he is now in the spirit realm, he actually showed me how to release my soul from my body at will, to go into a meditative state and simply separate. It's an amazing thing. And in my book, Visits from the Dream State, I kind of describe the process. Because of that, I understand that so-called death doesn't have to be a painful experience. As a matter of fact, many yogis and gurus and people who have studied the various spiritual sciences, they don't have these painful death episodes. They just, you know, they live as long as they want to, and then when they're ready to leave and they decide they've learned all they need to learn in the physical realm, they just go somewhere and quietly ease on out. You know, and this is really how it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be this traumatic thing where you have to be in pain or have to, you know, have some kind of injury or sickness. You can just leave your body. And I've studied Dolores Cannon, who also has done many past life regressions, and people that she's taken through the death experience have said it's like getting out of one chair and sitting in another. I mean, it's just that smooth. It's not a difficult thing. But because I've learned how to actually enter other dimensions, and I didn't have a near-death experience, I didn't have, you know, some kind of trauma. It was my husband in spirit came back and literally pulled my soul out of my body and pulled me into the dimension where he now resides. And because we had such a close relationship, and because I did tell him, I told him, promise me, you'll figure out how to come back and get me. Tell me what's really happening over there, you know, beyond the religious teachings and all that. I want to know what's really going on. So him transitioning when he did, it was like opening a door for me to help me to see beyond the limitations of our religious teaching. Because even when people read religious books, if you have not had an alternate consciousness experience, you're still interpreting it based on your limited physical reality. And that's why so many of our teachings are misteachings. But I have visited my husband in the realm where he resides. I've been to a party. I'm trying to tell y'all, they having fun over there, and no joke. I mean, I've been to visited him in his apartment. We sat around and talked. You know, I mean, just, you know, another realm of existence that is just as real as this one, as the speaker speaks about, but it's as if, you know, it's an alternate reality, and it is, because everything is energy, but this physical life is very dense energy. So here, if you want to do something, you know, it takes, like if I want to get up and pick up this book and place it on this table, it takes some time to make that happen. I have to go through the physical process. In that realm, you create with thought. So your thoughts become manifest. Now, it's the same thing here. It's just it takes longer time. And throughout the process, you have time to change your mind and do something else. But there, your thoughts are instant. Like if you think of somebody, there they are.
you know, I've been with my husband and in the presence of his ex-wife, you know, which of course in that realm there's no, you're not angry at each other anymore. I mean, you've gone through what you've gone through in life. You learned what you've learned. There's no bitterness. There's no anger. You know, so they're friends. You know, they're having a good time. You know, I mean, I have seen what the other realm is, and so I have absolutely no fear of death whatsoever. I know how to release my body from, release my soul from my body when I'm ready to leave. So I'm not even worried about when I'm going to leave. I'm going to, you know, of course, stay here and finish the assignment that I have. But my perspective on life is so different because of that. And even because I had a past life memory or another life memory, a life soul was in another body. And the reason why I know the reason why I was allowed to remember it is because the lesson that I got in that life is to help me in what I'm trying to teach in this life. And in that particular experience, I was a buffalo child in a herd of buffalo. And I even tell this story in the book, The Female Solution. All the other nature stories I got off of, you know, nature shows and so forth. But that particular one in chapter 7 about the buffalo herd, that story at the beginning, that was my personal experience that I'm sharing in being pursued by a leopard and having my father, who was the head of the herd, you know, the bull who was, you know, the head of the herd, come out and do battle with him while all the other cows, including my mother, surrounded me and protected me. And the reason why I was allowed to remember that experience was so that I could understand how it feels to be a child in a community protected by many mothers, even though, I mean, my own mother, of course, and I remember nursing my mother because I wasn't more than maybe a week or so old. But I remember that experience. I remember every sensation. And I remember looking down and I'm looking at my little skinny legs with split hooves. So I know what I was, you know, and I know what it feels like to run on all fours. I remember that sensation. And the thing about it, because what had happened, my mother, of course, you know, like I said, I was kind of newborn, not that old. But my mother had always told me, never stray from the herd, pay attention, you know, don't stray too far from me, you know, pay attention. So, but, you know, we're out in the field. I remember the smell of the fresh grass and everything, and we're grazing and so forth. It was like kind of midday. And I look up, and you know how you get that feeling, somebody's watching you, right? You know what that feels like.
Right.
So I
felt
somebody watching me. And I looked up, and in the bushes was a leopard, and our eyes met. And, you know, I'm thinking, you know that feeling like. And I knew instantly what had happened. I had got distracted by a butterfly, you know, and I let my mother get, you know, I wasn't paying attention. She had walked a little further with me. We were a little far away from the herd, and she had told me, pay attention, you know, don't get separated from the herd. Anyway, I understood that this leopard had picked me out because I had strayed away, and I was young. So it's like split-second thoughts. You got to figure out how fast I can run to get back to the herd. And I knew that how you had to run in a zigzag pattern in order to not be tripped up. I didn't understand how my mother had taught me that until I began to study interspecies communicators. And, of course, I've learned that animals communicate telepathically because I was trying to think, how did I know this? But she had taught me, and I didn't remember us having, like, lessons. Okay, this is how you run, but I knew she had implanted that thought in my mind, that understanding you have to run in an unpredictable zigzag pattern, because if you did two steps to the left, two steps to the right, of course they're going to figure out the next step, and then they trip you up, and hey, you're lunch, and then, you know, too bad. Nobody can save you. But because I knew how to, I mean, I was like a running back, going for the touchdown. I knew how to do the zigs and zags, and I'm running as fast as I can. And, you know, and I'm thinking, I can't make it. Because, I mean, I was running as fast as I could, doing that zigzag pattern, and I just didn't think I had enough strength. And suddenly, my father, who was this big, muscular bull. He came charging out of the herd, and just as he did that, all the cows, including my mother, all of them surrounded me, protecting me. And I was like, oh, I need a drink, you know. And I started nursing my mother, and the milk, of course, I remember how she smelled. I remember the whole thing. I remember all the physical sensations. I'm nursing my mother, you know, drinking the milk, and through the wall of cow legs, I'm looking at my father doing battle with this leopard. And apparently the leopard was kind of young and inexperienced, you know, because my father, and I knew my father, of course, you know, you just know these things. The leopard kind of slashed at him with his fangs, and my father turned around and jabbed him with his horns, and I heard the leopard go, the scream, and he ran off into the bushes. And my father, he's this big, muscular bull, and I'm looking at his face. He looked like, look, I don't take no mess. You don't mess with my family. I run this up in here. I mean, he was looking around to feel like anybody else out there. And I was like, oh, my God, he is fearless. I was just, I felt the emotions. I felt admiration for him. I felt gratitude. And then I also felt a little bit of shame that I had put his life in danger by not paying attention, like my mother told me. So instantly I understood that lesson. I understood that my role as a child in this family is to pay attention and not be absent-minded, wandering off, because he has to do that for every child in this herd. And that's the reason why he is the leader. That's the reason why he's the one who, you know, got to father the children, because you have to have enough love in your heart as a father to be willing to put your life on the line for all of your children. And that's what made him the head bull. And I understood all of that in that one lesson. And so that memory of that experience, I understood why I was allowed to have that memory of that experience, is because in the book, The Female Solution, when I'm trying to explain to women how we have to collectively mother our children, it's because I know what it feels like when you're a child and you are protected by all the mothers, the security that you feel and the protection that you feel, and how women have to make choices of men based on the love in the hearts of the men. The men have to have the love in their heart for their families. That's what makes them to be a partner, fit to be a head of household, fit to be a husband. The love that they have, the willingness to give their all to make sure their family is taken care of and protected. And so that experience helped me to understand what it is that in every family, everybody's got a role to play. And children have the role to follow the instructions of their parents, so that they don't jeopardize other people in the family. And it was such a profound memory.
Yes.
It was
beyond
a dream, because I relived that. I mean, I woke up, I was hyperventilating. You know when you got to run a sprint, how you trying to catch your breath. I woke up like that, you know. And at the time I was with my husband, you know, he was still here. And we were sharing, we always shared our dreams in the morning. You know, and I was telling him that experience that I had. Of course, you know, we laughed about it and everything, and he was saying, see, that dream was telling you supposed to obey your husband. I'm like, yeah, no, that wasn't the reason. That dream was, of course, or that experience, that remembrance, that past life memory. To me, it was some kind of buffalo herd. I don't even know what continent. I don't know if it was American or you know, but I know we were a buffalo herd, whatever the species was. But I knew that remembering that also helped me to understand, when I read later Dolores Cannon's teachings, that every soul, the process of growth, you have to be everything. You have to be a rock, a flower, an insect. I mean, you have to be everything so that you understand the unity of everything. You understand the purpose of everything. You can empathize with everything. So you have to be everything as a soul. So you're not just coming here as a human. You've been everything. You've had many, many, many hundreds, thousands of lives and all these different things, so that you can experience consciousness as that thing.
That's such a powerful testimony. And one of our viewers was saying how love love is the most important energy that we should be promoting. I had to end my video on Facebook and turn my camera, so I don't know what I look like on Facebook right now because I might be sideways. But I kept Susie Mayberry Parker was commenting about how love, that what a powerful, demonstration of love in a family that we should all be promoting. But we're living in such a strange times and society where the lessons that Naima talks about that were really planted deeply in her soul as not just a human but an animal, are people have forgotten and are missing that. So it's really our job now to remind people of those important lessons. We are now really in a war. And how many of you think we're in a war right now? Are you seeing how the war is very active, a spiritual war? Think about just the fact that our medical system has been promoting not exercise and diet and changing your lifestyle, but in fact, the medical system, in my opinion, has been doing more harm. What do you think? Has the medical system in general over throughout the earth or throughout our country, have they been promoting health and well-being? Your doctors, your nurses, what are they promoting? They're so busy in this battle because one of the things that all doctors learn is called the Hippocratic Oath. And in that oath, it tells them, first, do no harm. So I have a question for all of you, and I'm going to go to my next caller. First, do no harm. An example of what we are seeing here versus harming patients. When the swine flu, that I heard this today was a reminder, when the swine flu vaccine came out and was approved, it was being administered to people, and there were a certain number of deaths that occurred, and the whole program, the vaccine program, ended. Does anyone know the number of deaths that occurred from the swine flu that ended that whole vaccine program? This is a very significant number. How many people, this is my question for all of you viewers and those in the studio, how many people died after the swine flu vaccine was approved and that caused the CDC, the government, to end all vaccines? So we're going to go to the phone. I'm going to wait and see if anybody has the answer to that, and I'll give you the answer if it doesn't come up because it's important as we look at the Hippocratic Oath that is on this soul journey, especially with people who choose to be in the medical profession on this soul journey. They are experiencing some serious contradictions, hypocrisies, and lies in that system. And we as a body of humans are on a mission to not only understand the lies, but to overstand how our higher perspective, how our creator sees these events. And what does it mean if nature is God or nature is the creator? How are we treating nature and the creator in these twilight zone times? So I've opened the mic right now of Mama AZ. Your mic is open. Welcome.
Greetings. Can you hear me, Dr. Lee?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead. And I have an echo. Okay. Are you on a speaker or you have earphones?
I have my headphones on, but I'm driving back to the resort, to the Gables
Resort. You're driving?
Resort.
Did you say you're driving?
No. Let me redirect.
You're riding.
I'm riding.
Thank you, dear.
And I give thanks to Brother Abdul Latif, who encouraged me to connect with Dr. Latif, his wife at that time. And I'm so grateful that I was able to make it back from Rolla, Missouri, which is part of the Trail of Tears. It's right on the Trail of Tears, family. In Missouri. It's called Rolla, Missouri. I was able to have somebody to drive me to D.C. to the Black Indian March, and that's where I met Brother Abdul Latif and his book, When Nations Gather. And we would have different conversations or reasonings, and he was very much encouraging to connect with Dr. Lateef, his wife, family, and he says, hey, Dr. Lateef, and he's extremely proud of you for coming in that Melanation Station body to bring some enlightenment to the indigenous ones who will listen. And I'm proud of you, Dr. Lateef. So I thank you also for coming in that body that you did, because it makes my journey a lot, or my mission, a whole lot easy. And the video, Dr. V, that you played is spot on. Somebody, Reverend O, called me from Sacramento and said to me, do you know it's been a group of people who have made their transition, who has cobalt in their system as rods? You must be a hell of a fine, tough-ass woman. And I said, my soul chose this to see if I could get through this journey with the antibiotics and the poisons and the this, the that, and the other. My soul chose this to, it challenged, it was a challenge for me to do this. So I'm grateful for you, Dr. Lateef, with your encouragement and your husband, who pushed me in a good way to connect with you. So we're up here at the door, and I'm going to sign off, but I'll still be listening. You're spot on, sisters. Thank us.
Thank us. Thank us. That's so interesting how Naima Lateef, our executive producer, and her husband and Mama AZ are all connected, even today. Because when you are so aware of the astral levels of our reality, and you are so aware that this body is only a limited vessel for the experience we're having, and that there's so much more above our heads activated, going on, influencing us, that's why we're talking about growing in our soul journey. Because you can look at the activities going on right now in our country and in the earth. This Hippocratic oath has been broken totally. First, do no harm. They're doing all kinds of harm. So does anyone have the answer to the question about how many people died from the swine flu vaccine that was approved before they took it off the market, before they stopped the program? Anybody have any ideas? Let me tell you, 35 people died. You can look this up. In the CDC records, it's on the internet. 35 people died from the swine flu vaccine before they stopped administering those vaccines. Now, to bring that fast forward to today, and why have we had almost 1 million people who have either suffered or died from this COVID vaccine, and we're still pushing this vaccine as a solution to a virus? Why is this happening? I'd love to hear from you about why you think this is still going on, that we are still promoting an unapproved yet experimental vaccine when years ago 35 people was the limit of deaths, and they took it off the market. We've had thousands and thousands of people who have perished or suffered from this experimental vaccine where we are the guinea pigs. And no one is making an effort to stop this program. And I shouldn't say no one. The government and the president and the medical system is not talking about stopping this damage that's being done to people. Why is that going on? So that's what we are presenting to you as something we all have to think about as we look at this war that we're in. We are in a war right now, a spiritual battle. our souls came here to experience this battle. Obviously, if you're here today on planet Earth, you and your soul journey is all about how do you survive the war that we're all in now. And we're going to show you and talk about how you survive this attack against our creator. Because nature, we're going to hear an audio when we come back from the break about how the nature of the creator, how nature is the creator, creator is nature, then we are at war. There's a war against nature, and there's a war against our creator right now. Do you believe that or not? I'm just throwing that out there. Since nature represents the creator in my mind and in most people's minds, and we're going to hear some knowledge about that, what do you think about that knowledge, that belief, that thought that if nature is the creator and the creator is nature, then we're at war, our country, our medical system, and our government leaders are at war with our creator. So the question will be, how do you as a soul, a mature soul or immature soul, we're going to talk about why the immature souls are not feeling a need to put on their battle suits, because many people are just like, they're just happy to have a job and go to work and eat their food. And they're happy. They don't see themselves in a battle at all. They don't see the need to promote more truth about the soul journey and the battle that we're having against not just our soul, but our bodies, minds, and spirits. So, Naima, your mic is open. If you want to start the next set of commercials from the Female Solution Studio, and we'll be right back after these messages.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Beata.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world. Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, hosts John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection. Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down to earth. Solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com, or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
And we are back. Thank you for joining me. I apologize for the terrible, imperfect technology of Facebook and my phone. And I've had to switch from my tablet because it kept going off and back to my phone. And I might be sideways by now. I don't even know. They're not speaking in the mic. Okay, so I moved. Yes, thank you, Susie. My mic is on one end, and I probably should change my laptop and put it on the other side. But in any case, we're going to adjust while we keep it going. So I hope you can hear me pretty well. Let me know if there's any problem with me. I'll move the mic closer. But we're talking about growing in our soul journey. Why do we need to grow in our soul journey? Because we're in a serious battle right now for our souls, mind, body, and everything. Because we have beings on this planet who love to promote lies and untruths. Okay, good. Who love to promote lies and untruths to confuse us and put us people in fear. But I think I'm learning from my own personal experience. I don't know about you, but when you feel as if you've been reincarnated more than one or two times, if you've a mature soul that's been on the, as they say, this is not your first rodeo on planet Earth, and you've been around a couple of times, those are the ones who are rising to the occasion to meet the battle, to fight this battle that we're in. And others are just lackadaisical. They're just going along with the okie dokie. And they're in some ways, I believe they're accepting the lies out there and not really thinking that it's against our creator that these people are promoting these untruths. Because our creator's word is true. If we grow up with the word, we know what truth sounds like, feels like. And what we're seeing in our society right now, especially with this Biden character, is that they're promoting more and more untruths to keep people in fear. So this song, I heard this song recently on Telegram that I want to share with you. It really does sum up the situation we're in with this battle that we're in and how who's being attacked. And it's a song by some people called Hi Ren and Jimmy Levy. It's called This Is a War. So I'm going to set the stage with this song as we go forward in our show tonight to figure out the tools we need to fight the battle. And after this song, I'll take a call caller in the studio at the female center. But listen to the words of this song to really put into perspective the heartbeat of America right now. I think this is the heartbeat of America. And so many people are frustrated and feeling like there's a war going on. So listen up to the words.
This is a war on religion. This is a war on the children. They give you the cure with the sickness. This is a war on tradition. This is a war on religion. This is a war on the children. They give you the cure with the sickness. This is a war. This is a war that we living through. Never reveal to you that they also leaving killing you. They don't tell you what the hell you agreeing to. She been hurting you, don't know who leading you. Keep on proceeding to follow. Your mind is so hollow. Are you being coddled by government swallowing up everything that the media tell you without a question or a problem? All of the sheep being slaughtered. They poison the water, removing the father and chosen these daughters. Ignoring blue collar, keep spending the dollar and watching your sons and your daughters. Ain't got any honor if I'm being honest. I just ain't picking this side, but I'm gonna ride for my freedom and die for my freedom and question the government lies. A lot on my mind, it's so little time. Gotta think all of us needing a sign. The devil he hides, an ego and pride. They selling, they sold and they paying the price. God won't give you more than you can handle. Government should be dismantled. Every politician got a scandal. Prepare for the war, we going to battle.
This is a war on religion. This is a war on the children. They give you the cure with the sickness. This is a war on tradition. This is a war on religion. This is a war on the children. They give you the cure with the sickness. This is a war. This is a war.
I'd rather be red pill, get killed, than ignorant living.
heaven and meet that field. Don't stand up for something, you falling for nothing. Don't wait till the world that we know fall ill. This is the revelation of our generation, losing civilization. I'm determinated, just to liberate us with our dedication. Fuck the Terminator, fuck your medication. The administration gonna alienate us or exterminate us. I'll just keep on praying for your salvation. You are outdated, society becoming outrageous. Keep your house painted for the firstborn. The angel of death in its worst form. We being scorned, look out for their horns. Remember this isn't their first war. They coming prepared, so just be aware. They do not wanna hear none of your prayers. This is a war that ain't playing fair. They feed up your fear, they wanting you scared. Death and despair, it's all in the air. Just be aware, you think I care. The more that you know, the more that it's clear. This is a war, it's already here.
This is a war on religion. This is a war on the children. They give you the cure with the sickness. This is a war on tradition. This is a war on religion. This is a war on the children. They give you the cure. Down. Where's the bold and the brave? We all have to stand our ground. Oh, of the slave, till the crickets make a sound. Where's the bold and the brave? We all have to stand our ground. This is a war.
And at the end of that video, these words come on the screen that were from Thomas Jefferson that said, when tyranny becomes law, rebellion becomes duty. Let me read that again. Thomas Jefferson stated, when tyranny becomes law, rebellion becomes duty. And I feel as if the younger souls on the planet are feeling they don't have to rebel. But the older souls are in the mind of, I will not comply, and it's time to rebel, and we have to fight this battle with wisdom and purpose to protect our children, as for one, and protect the freedom that the government's trying to take away from many people. So we have a caller, I believe, in the studio of the Female Solution. We're going to go to... that caller, Naima, your mic is open if you want to bring in that caller.
Area code 7739.
Hi, this is Lois here in Chicago. Hello, everybody. Hey,
Lois.
Still alive?
Hi, Lois.
Listen, you know, this is such a wonderful, wonderful show as always. And may I say, you know, thank God for all of you, and may He just bless you richly and give you the desires of your heart.
Hallelujah.
You know, this is a war. That's from, they said, this is a war of God's children. I hope you all understood that. You know, if this is not a message straight from heaven, probably from Naima's husband, too. Who knows what's going on right now. But this is a war. And I know one thing. I was at a graduation. My daughter, Delilah, had her second master's graduation yesterday at McCormick Place. And I tell you, there were thousands of people there, thousands, $25 per car to park in the lot. The graduation lasted, well, anyway, we wound up in the parking lot, and everybody was there about an hour and a half trying to get out of McCormick Place. Nobody had, well, some people had on a mask. There was no social distancing. I took pictures of the whole thing. You know, I mean, it was just thousands of people, thousands. No seats were available in the Eric Theater. I don't know how many it really holds, but I know it's at least 2,000 or 3,000. So anyway, you know, we just have to know this is a war. This is a war between the Baptists, the Catholics. Well, this is a war. And who's going to win? Evidently, we're the winners because we're still here. That's what I believe. God loves us, and we're still here. Okay, that's my comment for today, and thank you so much. God bless you. Bye.
Well, thank you, sister. I'm glad to hear from you, because tonight we really do want to hear from you. I'm presenting some knowledge to my audience, and you have knowledge to share as well. She shared about a graduation that took place at McCormick Place. That is the same place I graduated from, let's see, what, 1972. Boy, long time ago. And boy, was the atmosphere different back in 1972. Didn't have to worry about any mask and distancing. But in 2021, we are under the most unusual trauma of fear and ignorance. That's why we are bringing you some knowledge about this situation that we're in. And one of the main problems or challenges our body is having to overstand the Creator's point of view in this whole situation. And the only way we're going to truly overstand is to gain more knowledge about this Creator, about nature, about the plants that can help us overcome any type of disease, and about the prayer and the music and all the things that we need to know to help us overcome. So I want us to take a moment here to do some breathing, because before we talk about the nature of God, we're going to do some breathing and listen to the heartbeat of our Native American rhythms. And we're going to have to get back to, I believe, what do you think? Do we need to get back to our Native American traditions, away from religion? Even though his song talks about a war on religion, it's a war on nature, first and foremost. It's a war against nature. And so listen, let's take a minute to just breathe deeply. Listen to this beautiful music of the heart. It's called the rhythm of the heart. And that's how we're going to win this war, is spend more time in nature, spend more time breathing in and out and focusing and preparing to respond to the lies, preparing to respond to the deceptions and the fear with powerful breathing techniques, and then action promoting truth. So everyone, let's all just take this time together to breathe and create this energy of power, life, more life that we don't hear from the media or our government. The rhythm of Okay, take a deep breath in and out. Woo! Now that's the nature that's being attacked. That's the war against the creator's music and the creator's breath techniques that bring strength and healing to the body. And what we have is a big lie being promoted in the planet. Namely, right now in the United States, we have this big lie being promoted that the pandemic is now a pandemic of the unvaccinated. Now, just to show you how big that lie is, there was an incident with Southwest Airlines recently, and even today, 1,000 flights were canceled on Southwest Airlines. And the pandemic seems to be of people unvaccinated. Well, the pandemic is a plandemic, first of all. So the lie is always in the words. Usually we can discern the lies in the words and then choose to respond with truth. So these people that run the company Southwest Corporation, I love this example. I was just cheering today when 1,000 flights were canceled by Southwest Corporation. Now, Southwest Corporation is doing the bidding of the president, who says we have to mandate injections in the arms of people, employees, corporations who have more than 100. Of course, Southwest Airlines has more than 100 people. And our president wants to mandate injections in the arms. Well, guess what? The air traffic controllers, and this is information that's not totally out yet, but it's coming out because they don't have a choice. They can make up excuses about reasons why they had to cancel 1,000 flights. But the truth of the matter is in Jacksonville, Florida, where I live, air traffic controllers said, no, we're not taking the jab and we're going to take some time off. That's basically what happened in a nutshell. So we've got air traffic controllers. And just in Jacksonville alone, who took sick days, and it shut down one airline. Think of what we could do if we did that all over the country. Air traffic controllers take a sick day. That would totally shut down all the corporations who fly airplanes around the planet. Oh, celebrate, celebrate, celebrate. This is a great example of the unity, the power that the people have. And I think it's going to happen more and more. And they haven't even heard from the airline pilots yet. Airline pilots are not, I don't even know if they're going to be mandated to have a vaccine. That's pretty dangerous to think that are the people flying these airplanes are going to take the risk of being injected with these experimental jabs. And they're flying the airplanes. That's kind of scary. That's why I'm just staying away from airports and airplanes right now. There's some people who love to travel. They're willing to take the risk. They're going to go. They're willing to fly to their grandmas and grandpas probably this year. I'm stepping back until they straighten this mess out, because all corporations being mandated to take a jab means some people are going to be suffering and dying. Because the reality is, if you just joined us, the reality is, when we had the swine flu vaccine out a few years ago, 35 people died and they discontinued the vaccine program. Today, 2021, we've had thousands of people dying and suffering, and it's on the VAERS report on the CDC website, and they still refuse to stop this vaccine program. In fact, they are pushing it even more, because this president is a clown, as in my opinion. We're watching a clown show, and we're watching a test to our soul's courage, our soul's ability to recognize the lies and to act on it with courage and rebellion. As Thomas Jefferson said, when tyranny becomes law, we got law now that says you have to take a medical injection. What happened to conformed consent or informed consent, where all the risks are laid out for you before you take this medical intervention? All the risks laid out, and when that happens, there should be some hesitation by people who are asked to receive these injections on whether or not there's going to be serious consequences. So as souls on the journey, we're looking at the overstanding from the nature of our Creator. Nature is speaking to those who are opening up their spiritual ears, their soul ears, and realizing, why did you come here to be on this planet at this time? So I want to give you another piece of knowledge, information about, this is about nature and the Creator. What is nature? What is the nature of our Creator? How can we really align ourselves, those of us who are consciously aware of overstanding implications and what that means, the understanding of how this is a sacred vessel that operates on a biological energetic computer, and how does that line up with the nature of who our Creator is? So I want to just play this so we become more aware and knowledgeable about what we're dealing with.
Now, I'm sure that most of you know the old story about the astronaut who went far out into space and was asked on his return whether he had been to heaven and seen God. And he said yes. And so they said to him, well, what about God? And he said, she is black. And although this is a very well-known and well-worn story, it is very profound. Because, I tell you, I knew a monk who started out in life as pretty much of an agnostic or an atheist, and then he began to read Henri Bergson, the French philosopher who proclaimed the vital force, the élan vital, and so on. And the more he read into this kind of philosophy, the more he saw that these people were really talking about God. And I've read a great deal of theological reasoning about the existence of God, and they all start out on this line. If you are intelligent and reasonable, you cannot be the product of a mechanical and meaningless universe. Figs do not grow on thistles. Grapes do not grow on thorns. And therefore, you, as an expression of the universe, as an aperture through which the universe is observing itself, cannot be a mere fluke. Because if this world peoples as a tree brings forth fruit, then the universe itself, the energy which underlies it, what it's all about, the ground of being, as Paul Tillich called it, must be intelligent. Now, when you come to that conclusion, you must be very careful, because you may make an unwarranted jump. Namely, the jump to the conclusion that that intelligence, that marvelous designing power which produces all this, is the biblical God. Be careful. Because that God, contrary to his own commandments, is fashioned in the graven image of a paternal, authoritarian, beneficent tyrant of the ancient Near East. And it's very easy to fall into that trap, because it's all prepared, institutionalized in the Roman Catholic Church, in the synagogue, in the Protestant churches, all there ready for you to accept. And by the pressure of social consensus and so on, it is very natural to assume that when somebody uses the word God, it is that father figure which is intended. Because even Jesus used the analogy, the Father, for his experience of God. He had to. There was no other one available to him in his culture. But nowadays, we are in rebellion against the image of the authoritarian father. But to reject the paternalistic image of God as an idol is not necessarily to be an atheist. Although I have advocated something called atheism in the name of God. That is to say, an experience, a contact, a relationship with God, that is to say, with the ground of your being, that does not have to be embodied or expressed in any specific image. Now, theologians on the whole don't like that idea. Because I find in my discourse with them that they want to be a little bit hard-nosed about the nature of God. They want to say that God has indeed a very specific nature. Ethical monotheism means that the governing power of this universe has some extremely definite opinions and rules to which our minds and acts must be conformed. And if you don't watch out, you'll go against the fundamental grain of the universe and be punished. In some way, old-fashionedly, you will burn in the fires of hell forever. More modern-fashionedly, you will fail to be an authentic person. It's another way of talking about it. But there is this feeling, you see, that there is authority behind the world, and it's not you. It's something else. Like we say, that's something else that's far out. And therefore, this Jewish, Christian, and indeed Muslim approach makes a lot of people feel rather strange, estranged from the root and ground of being. Now, naturally, of course, we intelligent people don't believe in that kind of a God, not really. I mean, we think that God is spirit, that God is very undefinable and infinite and all that kind of thing. But nevertheless, the images of God have a far more powerful effect upon our emotions than our ideas. And when people read the Bible and sing hymns, Ancient of Days, who sittest throned in glory, immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes, they still got that fellow up there with a beard on. It's way in the back of the emotions. And so we should think, first of all, in contrary imagery. And the contrary imagery is, she's black. Imagine instead of God the Father, God the Mother. And imagine that this is not a luminous being, blazing with light, but an unfathomable darkness.
We're here in 2021, and this G-O-D has so many connotations, denotations, that we're confused. So that's why Soul Purpose Healing comes to you every Sunday night to help you grow in your understanding of the G-O-D and to build a better relationship with the G-O-D, whatever that means in your life, and to come out of what, as he said, this paternal, authoritarian mindset that we have about the creator of the universe. So I hope that this knowledge we're bringing you is helping you do maybe a shift from the paternal, authoritarian creator of the universe to one of, oh, is the creator a female? Well, we all have there's male, female gender energy in each one of us. So we're taking a moment in this day of 10-10-21 to reassess our values, our belief systems, and prepare for the battle that is among us, around us. And even though Mr. Biden said, for God's sake, get the vaccine, we want to know how you feel about those type of words and how are they triggering you, or are you ready to respond with the powerful female energy within you that says protect yourself in this battle and bring forth light, truth and knowledge for the sake of our children, for the sake of our brothers and sisters. And so we're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to do some more breathing, because that's the key to growing in our soulful journey is taking the time to meditate, to connect with Mother Earth and Father of the Heavens, and bring the two together as one in you and around you. So Naima Latif, your mic is open if you want to take us to the next break in the Female Solution Studio.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of ourselves, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about self-care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and yourself feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on the Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness / stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Joining me this evening, we are so grateful to be able to bring you some knowledge to increase your chances of surviving this war, because my people perish for lack of knowledge is the word of truth. And so many people have been caught up in fear and ignorance over the past year and a half that we need to create a new paradigm now. I'm excited about a new paradigm. And that's why we're so divided. Let me play this explanation of why we are so divided, and from the focus of overstanding. Let's overstanding why we have all this division. Not be looking, understanding, why is this happening? I don't understand why this is happening. No, let's go to a higher place, looking over the earth, over the planet in terms of our soul purpose journey. We are entering into a new paradigm. We're going to create a new paradigm. And here's just a brief summary of how that's going to happen. Let's see, where did it go? It's so important that we begin to look at why the Creator is allowing this for a higher purpose, higher purpose.
That 2020 has been uncomfortable is an understatement. For some, it may be the worst time period they've ever experienced, but change requires discomfort. I think Americans have been comfortable way too long. Our biggest complaints as of recent have been a Gillette commercial, a comedian, In-N-Out, and the list goes on and on. Now look, I'm not saying we were void of problems, but after we were done being upset, our attention would then turn to our favorite forms of escapism, until we found the next thing to cancel. Then the coronavirus pandemic hit, and escapism was no longer a form of escape. It became our reality. So when the video of a police officer with his knee on George Floyd's neck went viral, we were forced to deal with issues that have always been here. Escape wasn't an option. So it's been a couple of weeks since I made a video, and a lot of this is because I just didn't know how to effectively say this message. And I went script after script, started over, did other things, because I just didn't feel like it was the best. And that's something that was really eye-opening about this whole situation, was seeing how other people contributed to this conversation. So one of which I saw a lot of is people highlighting extremism. And, you know, on one side that could be, hey, look at the riots. Look at the looting. This is wrong. So I'm going to put those extremisms on back burner because it's kind of this situation where, duh, of course it's wrong. Of course looting is wrong. Of course not all police officers are like that.
And if you constantly, like, it's okay to address these situations, but if you make a niche out of it and you constantly address them, it distracts from the actual problem, which is racism and a law enforcement system where citizens feel like they can't trust it, and we have to address those problems.
I've always wondered how these issues become a right versus left situation. Not only do we have countless video evidence of police brutality in the black community, but there have been huge cases of police corruption on file. Unfortunately, I think we are being divided because it's more profitable to be divided. Check out the online responses when the victim is a white man.
Daniel Shaver was in his motel along with two other guests. He showed them a pellet gun he used for work. Part of his job as pest control was to fire it at birds that flew in buildings and businesses. Bystanders saw Shaver from his motel window showing off this gun. Police were called.
Do not put your hands down for any reason. You think you're going to fall, you better fall on your face. Your hands go back in the small of your back or down. We are going to shoot you. Do you understand me?
Yes, sir.
Crawl towards me. Crawl towards me!
Clearly unarmed, he was given confusing orders and was killed.
If you followed this story closely, you'll know Black Lives Matter was there.
Tonight, organizers, including Black Lives Matter, with the blessings of Shaver's widow, are holding a vigil.
But the sad, sad reality is, since there wasn't any controversy, and I say that with quotes, the story didn't blow up. Something I don't understand is, almost every time we see someone in the black community die at the hands of police brutality, there becomes an online debate about stats and whether or not it's motivated by race. This debate ultimately makes the story go viral because more people are talking about it. So when BLM did what they usually do, protest against all police brutality, these online debaters were nowhere to be found. Media profits from this attention and the corrupt.
So I just wanted to give you a reminder of how the media is profiting from the division and the corruption. And here we are, many of us have turned off our televisions for that very reason, because we've been manipulated about everything from racism to violence to crime. And we are ready, I hope, to create a new paradigm and create unity, because it really is not about color of skin. It's really about consciousness. And are you ready to get together with your brothers and sisters to bring in a whole new paradigm? First of all, being grateful about everything that's going on, because we're growing, because we're advancing in our overstanding of the things that need to be changed. And we have to have the courage and the will and the power. We have to have the strength to overcome the obstacles and move forward with more spiritual solutions, more metaphysical solutions, and more solutions that have connected us to the highest source for all knowledge, the cosmos, the planetary system. So we want to do a little meditation before we go, so that we can stay in this mind of realizing that our power comes from above, and that what we need to be always mindful of is that no matter where we are, no matter who we're with, that we can be consciously responding to every situation and feel the power of the universe helping us when we stay in that high vibration. So let us again do a little meditation before we go. I love this meditation. Earth my body, water my blood, air my breath, and fire my spirit, because it really does connect us to Mother Earth. That's the overstanding response, that every time we connect to Mother Earth and the cosmos, that's such a higher vibration, higher frequency, and it gives us an opportunity to grow. We can grow in our soul journey when we're constantly connecting, looking back at the higher source as the solution, not being triggered and reacting with anger, hate, and bitterness and fear. We have all in the last year been tested in a big way about how much fear we're going to react with. And so it's time now to respond with a spiritual awareness of who we really are as a soul journey. The soul is invigorated and empowered with the breath. The breath, when you use the breath to meditate, to do your deep breathing, you're empowered in your soul. Your soul feeds your physical body, your mental body, and your spiritual body. So let's do an Earth My Body meditation. Get comfortable, close your eyes, and let's just take in breathing in and out. Empower your soul. Feeling
Earth my body, water my blood, air my breath and fire my spirit. Earth my body, water my blood, air my breath and fire my spirit. I like to sing to the earth, I like to hold. She likes to sing to me, she likes to hold me. I like to sing to the earth, I like to hold her. She likes to sing to me, she likes to hold me. I carry fistfuls of leaves, I make love to the breeze. I carry fistfuls of bones, I trust they will lead me home. I carry grief on my wings, I know a caged bird. Many turns of this moon, my women have suffered wounds. But my grandmother's with me. Close your eyes, can't you see? And my grandchildren are here. The rose, the crow, and the deer. I am surrounded by light, the light of stories. I need to quiet my mind, I need to listen. We are surrounded by light, the light of stories. We need to quiet our minds. Earth my body, water my body, air my breath and fire my spirit. Earth my body, water my spirit. Earth my body, earth my body, water my blood. Air my breath and fire my spirit.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, it's very symbolic this weekend. If you have a comment, 215-383-5863, if you're in the Facebook Live studio. But we have Susie Mayberry Parker, our sister of many days, has had some comments. The new paradigm flexibility shift is the now moment. She also says, don't be paralyzed listening to folks who don't empower you. Hallelujah. So true. And everything is inside. Thank you, Susie, for those powerful words. Very important. And let's see. Zelda is going to be on tomorrow. What you need is businesswoman Cynthia Boykin. I'm reading sideways. I don't know why. because it is Sabbath. Cynthia Boykin will be with Zelda tomorrow morning on Monday morning mindfulness. So we thank you all for joining us. Your knowledge, your experience is so valuable, so important these days when it promotes the truth of who we are inside and who we are out here in the collective mind. And as I, it's so significant, I think, symbolic that air traffic controllers this week in the last few days have made a big impact in not complying and resisting and rebelling against the lies that are being told and promoted from our government and from our medical system. Air traffic controllers, who is controlling the air? We know who's controlling the air, the King of Kings, the creator of the universe, the great physician is controlling the air around us and the air in and out of our bodies. How significant. Think of the symbolism of air traffic controllers starting what may be a powerful resistance to the vaccine mandates right now. Because the air that comes in and out of your mouth is controlled by whom? Who controls your last breath on this earth? Think about that. Think about it. And so that's who we need to obey as our commander-in-chief. This commander-in-chief playing a president, no. My suggestion, I don't know if you agree with me or not, is stop listening to the commander Biden and listen to the commander who's controlling your air going in and out of your body and the soul growth that you are going to experience because you're breathing. And the air traffic controller, hallelujah, is the Most High, and the commander in chief is the creator of the universe. So that's where we want to turn our allegiance to nature. And anyone or anybody who wants to, any system that is coming against the nature, the plants, the dandelion, the fennel, all the products that are alternative to being injected in your body, those people are the enemies in this spiritual battle. So let us all connect to nature with our breath and let the air traffic controller of the universe, woo-hoo, be the motivation for you to fight this battle with truth, with love and patience. Because remember, souls on this earth, some are young souls that don't understand what I'm talking about tonight. That's okay. You do your thing. But I'm going to do mine as an old soul. And someone this is not their first rodeo. And whatever your belief is about your soul right now or not, just do your best to promote truth, life, and love and healing. And we are going to survive this battle within the twilight zone. But hallelujah. And bless the air traffic controllers who are resisting and taking a stand. We can shut down the whole airline industry if we resist and stay home sick, and that will send a powerful message to the White House about pushing any more vaccine mandates, because they're destroying our economy. People are losing their jobs. So let us rise above the madness and stay connected, stay close to your commander-in-chief, the all-powerful air traffic controller in the realms around us and in us. Air traffic controller, take in that breath of the air traffic controller. Hallelujah. So Naima Latif is going to play our global fair. Thank you. So grateful to be here every Sunday night and every Friday morning with Health and Well-Being, to share my experience, share my knowledge, share the truth that has been given to me as a servant of that air traffic controller, commander-in-chief, the Most High Yahuwah. Blessings, many blessings, as we say thank you.
90 seconds.
Thank you to all of our listeners throughout the globe. And we say blessings, blessings, blessings to all those of you who are suffering through this twilight zone. May you find peace and comfort in knowing that your soul never dies. Your soul is eternal. That's the message we brought in the beginning of this broadcast. that the soul is a spirit, an eternal being.
60 seconds.
That lives forever. Lives forever. And the quality of your consciousness is what's going to determine whether you survive the suffering that you may have to go through. And the whole purpose of suffering is to raise your consciousness about making lifestyle changes. If you find yourself being diagnosed with some virus or whatever, just start thinking about the lifestyle changes that you need to make to turn around the suffering and the sickness that you may be experiencing, but it can happen. You can be renewed and transformed. And by all means, stay out of hospitals if you can, because it's not a good thing right now to be in hospitals with ventilators.
10 seconds.
Drugs like remdesivir that are killing people's kidneys. So be careful out there. Take good care of yourself. As Susie mentioned earlier, vegetables, eat those vegetables and fruits. Build up this temple of the soul and be ready every day to connect to the air traffic controller and around us and above us and in us. Hallelujah. So Naima may have fallen asleep, so I'm going to just say good night. Thank you. Toda rabah. Merci beaucoup. Grace muchos to all of you around the world. And shalom. Have a wonderful week.